Are you an accredited investor looking for a new opportunity to generate passive income and build the retirement of your dreams? Then elevate your investment game with Viking Capital, where wealth meets wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Viking Capital can help guide you towards financial freedom through passive real estate investing. With strong and transparent underwriting, Viking identifies low-risk opportunities with the goal of preserving investor capital and maximizing long-term growth potential. And their accessible and responsive investor relations team will help you understand how each investment will impact your unique financial goals. With $800 million in assets acquired, more than $230 million in equity raised, and more than 5,000 units under management, Viking Capital is your path to early retirement. To learn about Viking Capital's latest investment opportunity, which is available for you right now, visit vikingcapitalinvestments.com/best ever. That's vikingcapitalinvestments.com/best ever to get started today.
And I have another $70,000 in equity. So $30,000 plus equity plus asset without having to use a penny of my own money.
Are you ready for the best real estate investing advice ever? Join Joe Fairless and today's best ever guests as they share it with you. It's the best ever advice with none of the fluff. Let's go.
Heard of crowdfunding and still curious about how you can benefit from it? Well, we've got a step-by-step guide put together just for you by the best ever team and Patch of Land, the industry's leading crowdfunding experts. The best crowdfunding crash course ever, episodes 152, 159, 166, and 173 will provide you all you need to know to get started and begin benefiting immediately. Whether it's getting access to funds for your project or passively investing in other people's deals, the time is now to get started with Patch of Land. Go to patchofland.com/best ever to grab your copy of the top 10 answers to the top 10 crowdfunding questions. That's patchofland.com/best ever. Hello, best ever listeners. Welcome to the best real estate investing advice ever show. I'm Joe Fairless, and I'm here with today's guest, Elijah Rubin. How's it going?
Doing outrageously blessed. Thank you, Joe.
Wow, what a wonderful way to feel outrageously blessed. I love that. It's the first outrageously blessed, and I've done over 270 of these interviews.
Well, anytime you're dealing with the best ever listeners out there and the best ever host, Joe, you have to feel blessed, right?
Oh my God, my heart is melting right now, and I know their hearts are melting too. Elijah is joining us from Phoenix, Arizona. He has completed over 400 transactions, and he sold over $300 million worth of real estate. Interestingly about him, and this is real estate related, I usually do interesting fact non-real estate related, and I know based on my brief conversation with him, I'm sure he has many of those, but interesting that real estate related is he is also known as the Fire Damage King, and I fully expect you to tell some sort of story about that and what your focus is on. So with that being said, you want to give the best ever listeners a little bit more about your background and what you're focused on now?
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate that. I'm a Phoenician. My mother's from Trinidad. My dad is Jewish, and I'm 100% real estate investor. And I've literally in 10 years of doing business all in Arizona. I've done it all from door knocking to doing auctions to doing short sales, loan modifications, fixed flips, commercial deals. I've done a lot of it and saw some of it that works really well, then other parts that I saw, you know what? It's not the best use of my time, my skill sets. So I have a lot of trial and learning lessons I've learned over the past decade. And I kind of stumbled into some unique niches of doing some city violations, probate, and fire damage as one of my main focus niches I specialize in at the moment.
Well, let's talk about that. You basically just open up the encyclopedia of investing and said you've done it all. And that's incredibly fascinating. But I haven't heard of city violations and fire damage being a specialty. So can you elaborate on that?
Sure. And so basically, when I first started out there, I was doing properties at the auctions and whatnot. And my dad brought me to, I got a chance to talk with the rabbi. And his sister, I guess, husband passed away. And he asked me, Elijah, do you do probate deals? At the time, I wasn't sure quite what probate meant, but I knew it was an opportunity. And so I'm like, sure, let me look into it. So I started doing some probate deals, started realizing, although they're free and clear, which is good because the life insurance sometimes pays off the mortgage, what ends up happening is that they don't have to do anything. There's no real urgency. The kid lives in New York, doesn't have to fly back to Arizona to deal with the property. So sometimes it just sits there. Well, fast forward a year later, I started seeing that these homes that I was tracking on the probate, they started getting trash, shrubs, graffiti. And so the city will send a city violation notice saying, hey, Mr. Homeowner, if you don't fix this up, this $500 worth of trash and graffiti is going to turn to a $5,000 abatement. And so I saw that there's an urgency right there. So I started tracking city violation notices for free and clears. And that's, I started really started gaining some traction and started doing a lot more of those because those gave me the indication that there's urgency. Because I, like I said, my three favorite words are free and clear and urgency. I mean, I like helping people. I like creating win-win situation and being a people's champs. But I want to talk with somebody who's eager into hearing a solution or ready to deal with the problem. And so I started doing more of those. And then about 2 years ago, I started realizing the city violation deals, a lot of these properties started catching on fire. And people party in there. Other people are setting up all types of operations inside there, catching on fire. And so I started realizing, hey, these properties are catching on fire. I could do something with these. And when I met one private claim adjuster, he kind of explained to me the multiple ways we could get paid on a simple property from the insurance aspect. And then I, like I said, I was able to kind of connect the dots and see that you could help out the homeowner buying in a new property. I could buy the property, fix it, flip it, wholesale it. And then there's the insurance piece where I could bring a private claim adjuster to the table, help the homeowner get more than they initially was promised, and then have them assign over their back-end claim where they only get if they rebuild it. Well, I'm going to rebuild it, so I can have them assign that over to me and make even additional profits on the deal and give them a percentage of money that they would just walk away from. Pretty intricate, but is unbelievable ultra-exclusive niche.
Wow. Okay. I understand those first two. And I understand all three, but you're going to, if you'll humor me, go through the third one with an example, because I understand you help them find a new property if there's fire damage, or you fix it, you flip it, and you wholesale it. Makes sense. But what's the third? And can you give a specific example, like a case study?
Absolutely. I love going over these specific parts now. So I had this deal I just did on 87th Avenue in Thomas. It was called Monte Rosa, West Valley in Arizona. I'm going to go back for one moment so it makes more sense as I explain the case study deal. Let me explain the insurance, how the insurance policy is set up.
Okay.
When you have an insurance policy, all right, I mean, if a house catches on fire, it's one of the worst tragedies you could possibly imagine. And there's a lot of people out there who are at the house. I mean, you got the board of people, you have the fencing people, you have the insurance companies, you have the fire department, temporary housing. You don't know who's who. You're just trying to get back to normalcy of life. So a lot of times these homeowners are shell-shocked. And when the insurance company is offering claim payouts, they're usually only giving them about 80% of their policy limit, expecting them not to dispute it. So I'm just going to go real estate 102 real quick. Houses, Mr. Smith house is worth $100,000. Well, the insurance company is only they pay him out $80,000 on that appraisal value of $100,000. Now, if you look at the appraisal, the cost to build approach might be $150,000. But most homeowners don't know what appraisal value is, let alone where to look for cost to build approach. So the homeowner is getting shortchanged substantially, but they don't know it as yet. And so what happens, Mr. Insurance Company says, all right, we're going to give you $80,000. Well, when they say $80,000, they split that check up into two separate checks. The first check, they're going to get about 80% of that payout. So they're going to get roughly $60,000. And that's the first check they get. They buy a new house or they cover living expenses, get new vehicles, whatnot, or start rebuilding the house. And that second check is called depreciation. It's roughly about 20% of your back end policy. So that second check, the depreciation check, roughly about $20,000 of this example we're talking about, they only get that check if they rebuild and restore the property. Well, 35% of most homeowners don't rebuild the property in this situation. They simply leave that check on the table and walk away because they don't want to deal with having to rebuild it, wait 6 months to get certificate of occupancies and try to rebuild everything out. Well, once I heard that, like I said, my yarmulke tilted. I'm like, what? People leaving money on the table? So I decided to definitely, I realized how I could have them assign that over to me and I could give them a percentage of the back end claim because I'm going to eventually fix this up and clean it anyways. So I give them some money versus no money and have them assign that to me and that offsets some of my costs. So now that we understand how a depreciation check works versus a regular check, now let's bring it to the case study. So this property on Monte Rosa, I have an ebook says basically is how to survive a house, your guide for surviving a house fire. Have it on Amazon.com. Well, I put on my Facebook and somebody basically a claim adjuster passed it to him. So this guy's in San Francisco, says, Elijah, I heard you're the fire damage king. My house caught on fire. I already got about $80,000 from the insurance payout. The house is worth probably about $140,000, and it's only a partial fire damage. And he's like, well, let's see what you could do, Elijah. I have $16,000 of depreciation. So he had $80,000 first check, $16,000 on the back check. So basically what I did, I seen the property. I'm like, okay, I like the property. Well, there's one other investor who was competing offers against me. And so once I got a chance to talk with him, I'm like, well, I was around 30,000. The investor came in around 35,000. He's like, Elijah, he's at 35,000. What can you do? So I told him not only would I match the 35,000, but I knew I had one card up my sleeve that most investors who aren't aware of this niche couldn't play. I told him, what if I give you 15% of your depreciation check as part of this deal? And once I rebuild the property, you get another check. Whatnot. He absolutely loved it. He's like, Elijah, that's creative. This is a way for me to get some of that check that I'm just leaving on the table. Nobody's even mentioned this. You're the only one who even thought about this. However, he wanted that check up front.
Of course he did.
Oh, of course. Exactly. So I was able to talk with him and just increase my offer to $38,000. And so we signed contracts at $38,000. He signed over the $16,000 depreciation to me. And I end up within, 3 days, maybe 3 days max, sold the property for $50,000. And so, like I said, once I was able to sell the property for $50,000, I sold the property for $60,000. So the property for $60,000 made $22,000 without even having to fix up the property. And I had $16,000 of depreciation. And so the person who I sold the property to, the investor, I just let him profit share, gave him half of the profits for their insurance claim on the back end. So he's going to get $8,000. And once he's done fixing up the property, I'm going to get another $8,000 on top of the $22,000 I made without using any of my own money. Plus helping out the client, I got a testimonial letter on my wall saying what a great job I did for him and that he referred me to other people for the future.
How long does it take to fix up the property? I know it's different for everything, but to fix up the property and then to receive that depreciation check, because I imagine the insurance company needs to receive or have proof that it's been built back up.
Correct. And that's a good part that you're really highlighting there, Joe, because they are going to want to verify receipts for material and they want to verify receipts that a general contractor labor costs actually did the work. And so they're going to want to verify all that before they cut a check. Because remember, it is a business. And if they don't have to cut that check, they will do anything possible not to. So you want to make sure you have all your ducks in a row for sure. On average, depending if it's a total loss or if it's just a sub-partial loss, you're looking on average between 3 to 7 months from start to finish to get the contracts in place, get your certificate of occupancy, your permits, your planning and structural engineering reports you have to fill out. It sounds a lot harder than what it really is. It's just more paperwork. But you just want to make sure you have everything in place, but it's absolutely worth it for the dollar amount you could get.
This is a fascinating approach. I've never heard of it. And you almost need like a flow chart. I'm taking notes, but I'm thinking, dude, I should be like drawing things out on a piece of paper to like follow the trail here. There's so many if-then scenarios. How does somebody begin to, well, I guess, buy your ebook, right? Number one. But how did you learn this process? I've never heard of this. And I'm sure there are best ever listeners like, how the heck have you not heard of this? But I haven't. And I've interviewed a lot of people. So how did you learn this?
I mean, my grandfather taught me at a young age, look for the void and fill it. And I remember when I talked to a couple of my clients and I just saw how much they were being taken advantage of from the insurance company, how they felt helpless, how they weren't sure who was going to be there as a people's champ to advocate for them, how they would be more than willing to pay out a side fee to have somebody make sure they're getting the full amount, make sure that they're if there's any other options available for them that's being disclosed to them, and is there any way to make this time in life that much faster and easier to fast forward? So I just started off on the wholesale side, just looking at the properties. And then when I start seeing that I could bring a private claim adjuster to the table and he could get them between 80 to 130% more than what the insurance company initially offered them, and that he only gets paid on any new money he finds for them. So if he doesn't find anything over that initial dollar amount they offered him, they don't pay him anything. However, about 85% of the time he finds more money. And only one in five family members even use a private claim adjuster. So I seen that there's a big void there. And I started kind of connecting the dots. And like I said, I mean, I hear problems, but I see solutions. And I started connecting the dots and, hey, I can help out on the wholesale side. I can help them locate another property. I can bring my private claim adjuster to do a supplemental claim review and find out if they were ever underpaid. And if they were underpaid on a supplemental claim on the first check, that means it's underpaid on the second check, that depreciation that I could capture. And so I figured out how to get 3 to 4 checks on one opportunity. So I'm making really nice high equity area type property profits in rough, tough areas, helping out the common guy and really being a people's champion.
How many of these homes are there in Phoenix?
And that's the crazy part about this niche, because I thought, like, what, maybe one fire every 6 months. There's 2 to 10 fires a day, Joe, in Arizona, 2 to 10. And with global warming taking precedence, this niche will become more and more prevalent as the years come.
For areas like Detroit, where there might be vandalism or just bad areas, is that covered by insurance? Is that is that categorized in this as well? Where, you know, if it's arson, I guess what I'm asking is, if there's arson, would that be included in this?
And that's a solid question, and I'm glad you asked that too. It varies state to state. In Houston, they make it a lot more difficult to abstract the insurance money. And like you said, Detroit, there's certain coverage you have to have. So it does vary state to state. It's not a blanket one-stop shop covers everything. However, there's many ways to peel the onion. You have to find out what the policy limits are. I mean, you want to make sure some of these clients, if they're having a property that they're fixing up and it's going to be vacant, make sure they get the vacant policy. Sometimes certain clients don't realize they need to get code upgrade insurance. So when they rebuild the property that they bought in 1970, well, it's 2015 now. There's been code upgrades, and you should be paid for those, or you should get them as part of your policy payout as long as you have the coverage. So I think there's just a lot of miseducation out there, especially for those underserved markets where, yes, there is insurance coverage. Yes, there is a chance for them to shop the additional insurance policy profits out of this, but they have to kind of go through it with a fine-tuned comb and make sure there's not outs. Because like I said, the insurance company, although they're there to try to help you, it is a business, and they're there to protect their bottom line. And if that's the difference of you getting a max payout or them being able to keep additional profits on the table, they're going to keep the additional profits on the table, unfortunately.
There are a lot of takeaways, but if somebody has a fire at their house, God forbid, but if it happens, are the two takeaways, one, to make sure that you get a private claim adjuster, and then two, to look at the cost of build approach versus other types of appraisals, because the cost of build might be the highest?
Exactly. So first thing I'm going to look for, like you mentioned, I didn't get a chance to really highlight it. I want to verify that's not arson. If this arson, I step away from those. There's just too many moving pieces. But there's a plenty of reasons why properties catch on fire outside of arson. As long as the fire marshal rules out arson, especially by the homeowner. Like I said, that's the only time I kind of just rule those out and don't really get involved. But getting back to your highlighted points, that yes, you want to definitely get a private adjuster on the table, someone who's advocating for your best interests. It's kind of like getting in a car accident. Me and you, Joe, we get in a car accident. I hit your car and I say, hey, well, I'm going to have my attorney look at both of the damages and he's going to say, what's the number sphere for you? Well, that's not really what's in best for you, because you don't want my attorney kind of covering both of our numbers. You want to make sure somebody who's kind of protecting your back end interest. And then, like you said, you want to look at your appraisal, your cost to build approach. And if you have a contractor or you know of a contractor, have them give you a bid, because from day one, right when the insurance company gets that call that there's an actual claim, finally, after 10 years of you paying your insurance policy premiums, that now it's time for them to finally pay out. They deny, they defend, and then they try to decline. Those are the three D's they go through: deny, defend, decline. And then add all else, because what you have to realize, this is a good piece to understand too, what a lot of private claim adjusters know is that the insurance companies, they're too big to fail. You see an AIG, they couldn't go under, they're too big. And so it's never really a dollar amount to the insurance company, which a lot of homeowners think it is. If I ask them for more money, if I go after this additional income or this additional profits that should be paid to me, they could drop me from my policy or I could cause issues. They are not your parents. It is a contract and you are owed X amount of dollars, and the insurance company don't care about the dollar amount. You really only care about the time that policy stays open, because the longer these policy claims stay open and they don't close out, their insurance rating could get dropped. And if the insurance rating is dropped low enough, they go out of business. So they rather, and my most private claim adjusters understand that. They're going to say, hold on a second, Joe, your State Farm didn't pay you. This is 2013 tile they're using. This is 2014 shingle. This is 2011 plates for your outlets, conduits. And so he's going to go back and say, hold on, now, all these items, we want these at 2015 pricing. This is the average medium. You're off by 23%. We want a check for this amount, or we'll litigate it. We'll take it to court if we have to. And once they see you're taking that approach and you have contractor bid numbers supporting you, you have material costs supporting you, and then you have an advocate spending hours negotiating on your behalf, they'd rather make a check and have this headache go away, because they're going to make it up on the other four homeowners who don't have anybody advocating for them.
Elijah, what is your best real estate investing advice ever?
I say having polite persistence has got me very far in my career. But more importantly, I don't buy houses. I really buy urgency. And if you kind of look at it from that perspective, I think that will allow you to really start identifying other opportunities in your market.
And I think having your house catch on fire, there is no other urgent matter other than that. But I know that I buy urgency is a lot deeper than house fires. I know it's about motivated sellers, right?
Exactly. And when they're at that point where they're really ready to take that next steps, I want to be that person to really help them see it through. And like, and with the polite persistence, most people, they get told no once or twice. That kind of shuts them down. I mean, in my business, I don't even hear no until the seventh no. You know, I hear it for the first six no's, all I hear is, can you please say it a different way so I can say yes? Don't give up on me yet. That's all I hear.
I love that. I love it. Every no gets you closer and closer to a yes, right?
Absolutely. And you have to really see it, and you have to know you have to go through that no to get to your yes. So then you don't have such a bad feeling to when they say no. It's they just want you to say it a different way so that they can say yes to you.
You ready for the best ever lightning round?
Listen to it.
First, a quick word from our best ever sponsors. Crowdfunding. You've heard about it, and now it's time to learn about it. Our best ever sponsor, Patch of Land, is a leading expert in the crowdfunding space, and they've got all the answers to your crowdfunding questions. Go to patchofland.com/best ever and grab your copy of the top 10 answers to the top 10 crowdfunding questions. That's patchofland.com/best ever. Empire Industries provides frustration-free property management by investors for investors by managing your tenants' toilets and turmoil. Invest in the hottest market in the country by contacting them today for 2 months free management fees. Call them at 888-866-6727. Best ever book you've read?
Best ever book I've read, I have to say, Napoleon Hill, 17 Success Principles. People do business with people they like. He really highlights why. So how to make yourself more likable, more favorable, and how to attract opportunities in your world.
Best ever personal growth experience and what you learned from it.
I would say getting involved in other mastermind groups in my local market was really big for me. I wanted to try to do everything. I could be a one-man band type of person. But I really started understanding the fastest way to be successful is really being around other successful people who are doing things in a bigger and better way process than you're doing it right now. Because what you're able to do, not only can you learn from them, but and get deals, but you also get referrals, you get contacts, and most importantly, you get insight on how they dealt with that specific situation or that specific opportunity you dealt with. And learning from their past mistakes will save you time, money, and effort so you don't have to duplicate those mistakes.
Best ever deal you've done?
Best ever deal I've done. This goes back probably about four years ago. I got a probate deal in Central Phoenix that was worth roughly about $70,000. The son inherited the property, didn't want to deal with the tenant, didn't want to deal with the property. It's a really good area of town. I got the property for $5,000. I was surprised that I got it at first, but once he signed the contract, I knew it was real. I brought a joint venture partner in on the deal. He basically paid $15,000 for the property, and then he put another $15,000 into the deal himself to repair it. And then he, once everything was repaired and beautiful inside there, he brought one of his private money lenders to refi the property at $50,000 for us, where we were able to split some of the cash flow for the last 3 years. And now the property is worth about $130,000. So to recap that, I made $10,000 up front. I made about $10,000 on the refi. And then I made about $10,000 over the last 3 years in just cash flow. And I have another $70,000 in equity. So $30,000 plus equity plus asset without having to use a penny of my own money.
Best ever project you're most excited about right now?
I'm really in the process of morphing myself into becoming the fire damage king. I'm going to be the number one fire damage expert in America in the next 2 years. Well, I'm still working on getting my cost to conversion ratios all figured out. So I'm going to franchise my model out there and start keynote speaking and offering others to not just do real estate anyway, but do real estate my way under this ultra exclusive niche and bring it to the masses so we all could each one teach one type of environment.
You got my vote, my friend, for that title. I will gladly punch my ballot and have you as that name.
I appreciate that. I'll take that.
Best ever way you like to give back?
Best ever way I like to give back. I like to really be, I'm a fan of each one teach one. I work from a mindset of abundance, not a mindset of a scarcity. So I do a little networking events where I have investors, as long as you have your own organic deal, we go over deals. I do success talk times on Sundays with an investor or guys who've seen other deals I've done or reached out to me around the country, where I give them 10, 15 minutes. We go over things they want to stop doing, things they want to start doing, and things they want to continue doing, and really hold them accountable to that and really try to add value everywhere I go and really try to leave people in a better position than how I initially met them.
Best ever quote.
Best ever quote, discipline is doing what needs to be done when it needs to be done, specifically when we don't want to do it.
That's how you build a muscle, right?
Absolutely. Get that muscle going.
What's the biggest mistake you've made in real estate?
Not connecting with Joe earlier. No, I'm joking.
Starting with flattery and ending with it, and I love it. I'm soaking it up.
No, honestly, probably taking action. I was a little slow to take action initially, and I thought I needed business partners. I realized you could partner up with people on deals or even on projects, but unless they're really elevating you to the next level where they have more knowledge, more context, more funds, more opportunities than you, you really don't need any partners, especially if you're willing to take consistent action, because from taking consistent action, opportunity usually follows behind that. And so I kind of got in some bad partnership deals to begin with. And luckily, everything worked out. Everybody's fine. Everybody's happy. But I probably lost 3 to 4 years of wasted time trying to partner up on deals when I really didn't have to and need to at that time in my career.
And lastly, what's the best ever place to reach you?
Best ever place to reach me. You can reach me on, you can go to my fire damage website, which is firedamageproperty.az.com. Firedamageproperty.az.com. You can get my ebook on there for free. You can always reach me via email at Elijah, E-L-I-J-A-H, at Wynn, W-I-I-N-L-L-C, two I's in the middle. Or more free to welcome to call me, 602-753-8289. I'm always about connecting and trying to add value to like-minded investors and entrepreneurs of all walks.
What about firedamageking.com? Someone already take that?
Well, they had, I'm in negotiation trying to get the firedamageking.org. Somebody had .com. I can't believe somebody had it on me. I was pretty hurt.
Yeah.
But I might end up buying them out.
Maybe it's like a fire damage prince or something. I don't know.
Royalty, right?
Yeah, royalty. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's, or God. How about that? Fire damage God.
It's a very religious lady. She'd give me whoopings from here on to next day if I did that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll stop the brainstorming now. Well, this has just been a wonderfully enlightening conversation on a topic that I knew nothing about. And I suspect with the best ever listeners, it is a new topic. If not a new topic, then a topic that we went way deeper into than what they've ever gone before. And, you know, some of the takeaways, we kind of already talked about it, but when you have something happen to your property, first you verify it's not, well, that's when you're looking for properties. But first, if you have something happen to your property, make sure you have a private claim adjuster and look at the cost to build approach. As you mentioned, your take with insurance companies are the 3Ds, deny, defend, and decline. And really, really interesting insight that you mentioned is they're concerned about their insurance rating and they want the policies closed up. They want it to be resolved. And so I've actually had a private claims adjuster on the show before, and it just reinforces it's a no-brainer. Get a claims adjuster because they don't get paid unless they make you money. I mean, that is the best type of business partner. You talked about partners. That's the best type of business partner. If I'll go into partnership with you, but only if you make me money. Well, okay. Sold. You know, how many more of you are there? You know, and what other industries are you in?
Sure.
Well, thank you so much. This has just been fantastic. Everyone go check out his ebook, Your Guide to Surviving a House Fire, on his website. And the website is right now,
firedamageproperty.az.com.
Yes, firedamageproperty.az.com. Whenever I was typing it out, I see fire, then I see damage. But I was like, wait, fire, a manager, property? Okay.
Manage the fire through the damage process.
Right, there you go. Well, thank you so much, Elijah. Wonderful conversation. Glad to have you on the Best Ever Show, sharing your advice with the Best Ever listeners, and we'll talk to you soon.
By all means, I really appreciate it, Joe. I appreciate it to all the Best Ever listeners for listening. And I look forward to hearing from anybody out there. I love getting feedback. Once again, I'm honored to be able to have this opportunity.
Hey, you, Best Ever listener. Do you want more? Then go to joefairless.com, where you'll get tons of free videos, templates, and content to help you get deals done. And remember to subscribe to the Best Ever Show in iTunes so you can keep getting your daily dose of the best real estate investing advice ever.